No. All right, so while we're getting ready here, go ahead and just turn in your Bibles real quick to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to start in there. We'll kind of jump around a little bit, but that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. All right, we all know that Jesus loved teaching with parables, and that's really what this whole thing is right here. I love teaching with parables, too. I feel like it's a great way for people to relate to a message. It gives you something to tie it to, help you remember it, and it can really be a good way to help people that don't understand it a little bit better. Today I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite passages, the parable of the vine dresser. I feel like it's a really good link to the meaning of the gospel message. Let's take some time and pray. Lord, we come before you now in Jesus' name. God, thank you for everybody that's here. Father, as we begin to study your word, God, I pray that your message would go forth. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Give us understanding. God, pour out your spirit now. Water hearts. Till up the soil. And Father, I pray that everybody that's here today would leave changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. We'll go ahead and we'll read that, or at least the first little bit of it here. It starts off by saying, and this is Jesus talking, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." All right. We'll see you guys next week. He just puts it in such a great light there. But we'll go ahead and we'll dig into that just a little bit. So in the first two verses, Jesus describes himself here as the true vine and God as the vine dresser. So I'd like to talk about this relationship here a little bit. It's a really interesting relationship. So I'll start off by asking a question. What is a vine? Cut and dry, right? However, the Webster's definition of a vine is a plant whose stem requires support and which climbs by tendrils or twining or creeps along the ground. Also the stem of such a plant. Secondary, there's always an A and a B. The B of this is any of various sprawling herbaceous plants, such as a tomato or potato, that lack specialized adaptations for climbing. What is a vine dresser? Well, it's literally a person who cultivates and prunes vines. There's not a whole lot hidden meaning in there. But the relationship here is this. So the vine is a living organism. Okay, it will survive left to its own devices. However, it will not thrive. A vine needs to be supported. A vine needs to be cared for. It needs to be pruned. It needs to be shaped for it to produce any kind of good fruit. I've had this problem a lot. I have a hard time wanting to cut pieces away from my plants, especially when they look healthy. But anyway, we'll get... we'll get more into that. So the job of the vine dresser is to care for the vine. And how great is it that our vine dresser is God? But this individual, whoever the vine dresser is, will give the vine the care that it requires to bear as much fruit as possible. It's not only about bearing more fruit, but it also helps the plant to bear good fruit. Jesus says that he is the true vine, and his Father, God, is the vine dresser. Now, this is Jesus saying that God is in control, and he wants to see his people be fruitful in their work for the kingdom. I'm going to say that again. God is in control, and he wants to see his people being fruitful in their work for the kingdom. So moving on into verses 3 and 4 here. Jesus starts to make things clear, and he says to the disciples that they are saved because they believed in him. But there's more to it than that. He says, in order to bear good fruit for the Lord, that we have got to be connected to the vine. Now, right, no brainer, huh? Seems like that makes a lot of sense. What happens to a branch when it's taken off from a vine or a tree or a plant of any kind? I mean, it has no connection to the nutrients anymore, so it just withers off and dies. It becomes dried up, and it's good for nothing but kindling. You start a good fire with it. That's about it, though. I like the word that the ESV Bible uses here, and the word is abide. So once again, I like throwing in Webster's definitions all at the same time, but to abide, and this one kind of hit me a little hard when I started reading about this, is to abide is to accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. I'll just let that drop and sink in there for a second. To abide is to accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. So Jesus is saying that as he acts in accordance with the will of God, that we are also to act in accordance to the commands of Jesus under the new covenant law. Because in verse 5, Jesus drops a bomb. He says to the disciples, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now think about what that means for a second. Jesus is the vine. So Jesus is the main connection. He's our main connection to the Father. And if we cut ourselves off from him, we're just the same as a branch that's been snipped off. We're just going to wither and die. Jesus is the vine. Whoever abides in him will bear much fruit. But there's another aspect of this that we got to be careful of. The whole thing makes me think of a tomato plant. Mike and I, we've been talking about the tomatoes. Had tomatoes on my brain here this last couple of weeks. Tomatoes grow on a vine. I've talked to a couple of folks in here how to make them, you know, trying to get better tomatoes. Because I'm terrible at growing tomatoes. I've been told to make sure they get plenty of sun, water, most importantly, to make sure to prune out the suckers. So what's a sucker? How many of you in here know what a sucker is? Just show of hands. Cool. That was something I kind of vaguely knew about, but I learned more about it this last week. So what's a sucker? A sucker is that little leafy branch that grows in between the main stem and the leafing branch of the vine. And so this little branch is what ultimately ends up producing fruit for the plant, but if they're left to grow wild, the fruit will be small and it won't be very rich. It'll be a very poor, not good fruit. And that doesn't matter what kind of plant that it's on. If too many nutrients are going away from the fruit's not going to be good. And we talked about that a little bit last time that I preached. But these little branches, they often look very healthy. They look really nice. They got these little flowers on them. They give fruit for the plant, but there are benefits to removing those. They're called suckers because they take water and nutrients away from the fruiting or from the actual fruit of the plant, and it won't bear like it should. Just like with our life, there's certain things that we need to remove to make sure they don't get between us and God. Sometimes these are obvious things that are not good, and we can clearly see that they're damaging to our walk with Christ and our witness to the world. And we all understand that this is anything that God has forbidden, But other times they can look really nice and seem like they would be a really good thing to have. But anyway, so let me tell you here, like I said before, I have a really hard time pruning my plants. I love my plants, and it seems counterproductive to cut off pieces that are perfectly healthy. But then I realized when I take these parts off, the plant can actually flourish and thrive, producing good quality, healthy fruit, or really just a healthier plant in general. It works the same way for your house plants as it does for your garden plants. Overall, really the most important part of the pruning is to be able to recognize what's a good part of the plant that needs to stay there and what is something that's going to cause the plant to be stunted in its fruit bearing. And this is where the vine dresser comes in. And who is our vine dresser again? Everybody all at once. There it is. So God's word shows us the things that are good to have in our life and the things that are not so good. So it really, really pays as a Christian to be rooted in the word of God. That's where it starts. That's our foundation. It shows us things that are good. It shows us things that are not so good. And God will take away the parts of us that are not bearing fruit for his kingdom. And sometimes that's painful. He'll prune the parts that need to be strengthened. But we have to submit to the Almighty Father as plants that need to be pruned. The tomato plant doesn't have a choice. It's going to get cut. I go to it, snip, 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 snip. Hey, that looks a lot better. But the difference here is that the tomato is being pruned by me. And unfortunately, I am a fallible person, and I'm not super skilled, and it might actually be harmed by my pruning if I don't do it right. However, if the pruner is a seasoned and skilled gardener, the plant will do much better after the pruning. It makes me think of my grandpa. My grandpa used to walk inside all summer long with these big, fresh tomatoes, and they'd still be warm from the sun. Who's ever had a vine-ripened tomato that's still warm from the sun? Oh, they're so much better that way. Oh, you slice that up, put some cheese on it, slice of bread. Anyway, sorry, lunch is getting close. But the only way he was able to do this is because he spent time with his plants every day that he had plants in the garden for over 50 years. My grandpa was a gardener from as long as I can remember. Now, I, on the other hand, am not as experienced as my grandpa was, and so sometimes my plants don't recover well from my attempts to help. And we are very fortunate in that God is our pruner. I'll let that sink in for a second. God is our pruner, the heavenly almighty Father, God of the universe, is our pruner. God's the best pruner. God sees the things that we don't, that are causing a rift in our lives. He points it out. He cuts it away. Once again, sometimes it looks like a painful thing. Loss is never fun. I don't know a single person that enjoys losing something they felt like was a part of them. I'd go for a show of hands again, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. Whether it's a part of your identity, personality, stuff, even a relationship that maybe didn't go as we thought it would. God's will and his plan is much greater and higher than we could ever know. Just for instance, when we moved out here to Oregon, we had to get rid of so much stuff. It was all stuff that we once thought was important enough that we dropped money on it. Now, when we started selling off this stuff, it became clear that we valued it much more than everybody else that was buying it. You know how yard sales go. It's like, oh yeah, I spent $50 on that thing. Somebody walks up and offers you a dime for it. That's just yard sale prices. But anyway, we valued that stuff a whole lot more than everybody else did. Now, there was also some stuff in there that we really didn't know how we were going to be able to live without. Certain things like furniture, appliances, essentials, you know. How are we going to do it? How are we going to live without this stuff? However, even though we didn't know how God was going to provide all of this, we trusted in the plan of the vine dresser. He showed us that sometimes the best thing for a plant is to be moved to a new plot of soil. The transplant process is often a very painful thing for the plant if done incorrectly, and it can even kill the plant. Thankfully, once again, God is the master gardener. And we know that we're in good hands. We knew that we were in good hands then too. Now God uprooted us and he planted us out here. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. At first it was a struggle. We went through some stuff. But thanks to God and our wonderful church family that we immediately got plugged in with, we were blessed with everything that we ever needed. Like within a week, we had an entire furnished home just because of the kindness of the believers around us in the body of this church. And we're thankful for that. And now we're doing better than we ever were in that old soil. All of our nutrients were dried up. We had everything that we could get out of that soil. And God was telling us it was time to move. One cool thing is also that our roots are spreading. God is blessing us with growth in the Spirit. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, all of this brings to mind another aspect of this that I'd like to talk about just real quick, touch on this. There's another passage that Jesus used some very interesting symbolism in to describe what we should do in very certain situations. So I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 5. I love that sound. There's nothing that beats the sound of shuffling Bible pages. It's just so cool. And here I stand doing it on a... But I can look through this a whole lot faster than I can flip through a Bible. Okay, so we're going to start in verse 27 here. It says, "You have heard that it was said," this is Jesus talking, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." That's severe. So pretty much Jesus is talking about lust and adultery here, but with God, there is no sin greater than another. In that light, we can take this scripture about lust and adultery and just make it say sin. Because in verse 29, Jesus says something astounding. He says that if your right eye causes you to sin, to tear it out and throw it away. Now, why did he say that? Because it's better to lose a body part than to spend eternity in hell. He says the same thing about your hand. If your hand is doing something that causes you to sin, cut that thing off. Get it out of there. What he's saying here is that if there's something in your life that's causing you to sin, cut it out. And it makes me think of Full House. Cut it out. Sorry. But it's true. We need to cut it out. We got to get that stuff out of there. That's the only way. And sin is a very serious problem. Jesus is literally saying here that sin cuts us off from God, and it's better to be missing an important part of the body than to spend an eternity in hell. Now, you might be thinking, now, what does this have to do with the other stuff? So the relation here is this. When we submit our lives to God, he will cut out all the stuff that takes glory away from him. That's why we're here. We're here for the glory of God. If we have a bunch of stuff in our lives that steals attention from God, we can't produce fruit for his kingdom. If we're not producing fruit for his kingdom, then we very well might be the ones who cry out, "Lord, Lord," and he says, "Depart, for I never knew you." Where's your fruit? We got to look for the suckers in our lives. I'm going to say it again. We got to look for the suckers in our lives. Once again, they might be as obvious as the nose on your face, or they might be a bit more subtle. For instance, if we spend more time worrying about what others think of us rather than what God has said of us, that's a sucker. We got to cut it out. A lot of it a lot of it seems to want to take the focus away from God. There's so many things that are jockeying for our attention right now that just want to take the focus off of God and put it onto me. Don't pay attention to this out here. Don't pay attention to any of this up here. Just focus on me. What makes me comfortable? What makes life happy? How can I have more comfort in this life? That's what God's going at, right? No. I don't see anything in the entire scripture that says anything about God wanting us to be comfortable. If you can find it, talk to me after the service. But what a lot of people don't understand is that when we let anything get between us and God, anything at all, it becomes a sucker. So how do we keep the things in life from becoming suckers? We've got to stay in direct connection with the Father. That's right. Ryan held up his Bible back there. We have to stay in direct connection with the Father through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. This is the only way we can stay in good shape to spread the gospel. And even a well-cared-for plant can get out of hand if the pruner leaves it alone for too long. So like with the tomato plant, if a tomato plant is left to grow however it wants, the little suckers will get out of hand. And it causes harm to the plant. So the leaves will get thick and tight, and they begin being starved for light, nutrients don't go where they're supposed to, and other things necessary to life. And it can cause, one thing I didn't understand is that when there's too many leaves on a plant, there's too many branches that aren't producing on a plant, it can actually cause the plant to hold moisture. And the buildup of moisture in a plant can lead to disease. It gets rained on, and if it doesn't have enough open space to dry out, bacteria starts to grow on the plant, fungus and stuff, and it can actually kill it. So, and after, I lost my place in my notes, but that bacteria and that moisture can cause the plant to just rot in its place. And you don't always notice it at first. You don't always see that the plant is in distress, because a lot of that goes on underneath the soil. But anyway, a good thing about being a living, breathing, walking tree is that we don't have to wait for the pruner to come to us. We're not stuck in one location, left to the mercy of a vine dresser that might forget about us for a while. We're blessed to have the ability to come before God. God sent his Son and made a way for us to come into his presence daily. And we have to. We have to come into God's presence daily. My prayer is that I would have the boldness to go before God and ask him to prune away the parts of me that are keeping me from bearing good fruit for him. I pray this for all of you as well. Now, once again, it's challenge time. Any of you that have heard me preach before, you know that I don't like to end without some kind of a challenge. I challenge you all this week. There's that drum roll again. I challenge you all this week and in the weeks to come before God. Come before God. Ask him humbly. That's important. The humble part is important. Ask God humbly to point out the things that are getting between you and him. And get ready for some pain. Because after that, you've got to let him clear all that stuff away so you can get back to bearing much good, healthy fruit. We have got to go to the Father every day. Ask him to seek our hearts. Search me, Lord. Find the parts that aren't supposed to be there. Cut them out. Lord, that's my prayer. That you would just come in and you would cut out everything that's not supposed to be there. Send your Holy Spirit and just burn out all the chaff. So, I ended up getting through that a little bit quicker than I thought. But, before Cindy comes back up, let's go ahead and we'll just take some time in prayer. And I would just ask that in this moment, that you would let God search you, that you would open up the dark parts and let some light get in. Let God look through your heart. Let him snip away those pieces that aren't working like they're supposed to. Let him snip away the spots that aren't healthy. Let him snip away the spots that aren't growing fruit. So Lord, as we come before you now, Father, I pray that you would search us, try us, test our hearts. God, help us to be bold in the way that we come before you. Father, I pray that you would put a desire in each one of us to come before the vine dresser and let the bad stuff get cut away. Lord, help us to recognize it too, so that we can see the pieces that aren't working like they're supposed to, and we can bring them before you so that we can be dressed. Father, I pray that you would cover us with your son. Thank you for the sacrifice that he made. Father, the blood that covers us makes us clean and makes us whole. Help us to remember that daily. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we get to come before you here. And I just pray that you would touch hearts today, touch lives. Change us in Jesus' name. Amen.